Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Shabbat Perek Chaf Hei. In this perek, the Rambam delves into the categories of Isser Tiltul on Shabbat, which he introduced in the final halachot of the last perek. We note from the outset that tiltul refers specifically to moving an object, and there is no prohibition against touching anything on Shabbat without moving it. We typically refer to any Isser Tiltul on Shabbat using the term mukze, which means set apart, but this really includes two different gezerot, only one of which is referred to by Tanaim in the Mishnah as mukze. The other is called Gezeirat Kelim, which was initiated by Nehemiah at the time of Bayit Sheni and originally forbade moving any kli on Shabbat for any reason. Over time, this gezeirah was relaxed, and the first few halachot of this perek discuss the remaining elements of the Gezeirat Kelim. Only later, in Halacha Vav, does the Rambam first discuss things which are not kelim, but are considered mukze and therefore asur betiltul. Halacha Aleph. Yesh kli shemlachto leheter, v'hu ha-kli shemutar lasot bo b'shabbat davar shnasalo, kigon kos lishtot bo, ukara lecholba, v'sakin lachtoch bo basar ufat, v'kardom liftsoa bo egozim v'chayutze behen. V'yesh kli shemlachto liisur, v'hu ha-kli shasur lasot bo melacha b'shabbat davar shnasalo, kigon makteshet v'reichayim v'chayutze behen, shasur lichtosh v'litchon b'shabbat. A kli shemalachto leheter is any utensil whose typical manner of use is permitted on Shabbat. This category includes eating utensils, like a cup, bowl, a knife, as well as an implement like a nutcracker, used to break open nuts. A kli shemalachto leisur is a utensil which is generally used to perform a malacha, which is forbidden on Shabbat, and examples include implements used for crushing or grinding foods. Halacha Gimel explains under what circumstances each of these types of kelim may be handled on Shabbat. Kol kli shemalachto leheter, bein shehaya shel eitz o shel cheres o shel even o shel matechet, mutar letatlo b'Shabbat, bein bishvil atzmo shel kli, bein letzorech mekobo, bein letzorech gufo. V'chol kli shemalachto leisur, bein haya shel eitz o shel cheres o shel avanim o shel matechet, mutar letatlo b'Shabbat, Bein litzorech gufo, bein litzorech mekomo, aval bishvil atzmo shel kli asur. A kli shemalachto leheter may be moved for one of three reasons. Bishvil atzmo shel kli, meaning to protect it by moving it to a place where it won't get damaged or stolen. Litzorech mekomo, meaning in order to use the place where the kli is sitting. And litzorech gufo, meaning in order to use the kli itself. The implication of the Rambam is that moving even a kli shemalachto leheter for some reason other than these three, like to show to someone or just to occupy one's hands, or moving it for no reason at all, is forbidden on Shabbat. The Shulchan Aruch rules this way as well, though the Mishnah Berurah adds, against the Rambam, that kelim which are used constantly, like eating utensils, exactly the examples brought by the Rambam, are not included in this gezeirah and may be moved even for no reason at all. A kli shemalachto leisur may be moved only for the last two reasons, of letzorech mekomo and letzorech gufo, not in order to protect the kli. What does it mean to move a kli shemalachto leisur for the purpose of letzorech gufo, to use the kli, if this is a kli whose use is a malacha, like grinding? The Rambam explains in Halacha Hei that one may move a grinder in order to use it not in its usual manner, but for a permitted purpose, like cracking nuts with it. He gives further examples in Halacha Zayin. One may move a saw in order to use it to cut cheese, or a gardening shovel in order to scoop up figs with it, and he may move a sewing needle in order to pick a lock so that he could open a door. The Magid Mishnah adds, and the Shulchan Aruch accepts this psak, that once a kli shemalachto leisur is moved for one of these two permitted purposes, of letzorech mekomo and letzorech gufo, one does not need to drop it from his hands as soon as possible, and he may continue to carry it in order to put it down wherever he wishes. Halacha Vav. V'chol she'eino kli, kigon avanim uma'ot v'kanim v'korot v'chayotze behen, asur letaltalan. Even gedola o korah gedola, afal pi shehi nitelet basara bnei adam, im yesh torat kli aleha, miltatlin ota. Daltot habayit, afal pi shein kelim, lo huchnu letiltul. Lefichach im nitparku, vafilu b'shabbat, ein miltatlin otan. Ha'afar, v'hachol, v'hamet, Ein mizizin otan mimkoman, uven shmona chai harehu ke'even v'asur l'taltalo. Anything which isn't a kli at all may not be moved in any way on Shabbat. Such items include rocks, money, branches, dirt, sand, and even the door of a house which comes off its hinges. A dead body is similarly prohibited in Tiltul, though we'll learn more in the next parak about how a corpse may be moved on Shabbat. The last line of the halacha states that a baby born in the 8th month of pregnancy has the status of a rock and may not be moved on Shabbat. We saw this back in Hilchot Mila, where the Rambam discussed the concept of a nefel. As we explained then, modern poskim consider birth in the 8th month to be no different from birth any earlier or later, due to medical technology which can save even babies born very prematurely. Therefore, this example isn't relevant nowadays, and any live baby may be moved on Shabbat. Halacha Tet. Kol kli shemakpir alav shema yifchatu damav, kegon kelim hamuktsin lischora, v'chelim haikarim biyoter shemakpir alehen shema yipasdu, asur l'tatlam b'shabbat, v'zehu hanikra muktze machmat chesron kis, kegon hamasar hagadol, v'yateid shel machresha, v'sakin shel tabachim, v'cherev shel ushkafim, v'chatzin acharashim, v'kurnas habasamim, v'chayotze bahen. Any kli with which one is very careful, because it is expensive and he doesn't want it to be damaged or otherwise lose value, is forbidden in Tiltul on Shabbat, even the Tzorech Gufo or the Tzorech Mekomo. This category is known as Muktze Machmat Chesron Kis, and includes knives used for very specialized purposes, like by a shochet, a carpenter, a shoemaker, or a mohel. Also a grinder used by spice merchants to grind spices, and anything set aside as merchandise. The Rambam's phrase is muktzin lischora, which is the first appearance of the term muktze in this perek. There is an interesting debate among achronim regarding a situation when a kli, which is muktze machmat chesron kis, is used on Shabbat, like the knife of a mohel, when a brit takes place that day. After it is used, must it be dropped immediately, or may it be carried to wherever one wishes to store it? Like in the case of Kli Shemlachto L'Isser, which is moved Litzorech Gufo or Litzorech Mekomo, as we mentioned. The Rama in Hilchot Mila allows it to be carried elsewhere, while the Gra requires that it be dropped immediately. The debate may be whether Muktze Machmat Chesron Kis is fundamentally a form of Muktze, like rocks, branches, and money from Halacha Vav, or maybe because the object in question is a Kli, this really falls into the category of Gezerat Kalim. The Rama may believe that Muktze Machmat Chesron Kis is included in the Gzeirat Kalim. These items are not genuine Muktze, and so in situations where they may be moved, like a Kli Shemlachto L'Isser for Tzorech Guf or Tzorech Mekomo, this dispensation extends to returning them to their usual place. The Gra, however, believes that Muktze Machmat Chesron Kis, despite pertaining to Kalim, is really a subcategory of the Gzeira of Muktzah, in which there is no heter to move the object any more than absolutely necessary. Halacha Yud. Kol kli shehuktza machmat ha'isur asur l'taltalo, kegon ner shehidliku bo b'shabbat, v'amonora shahya ha'ner aleha, v'shulchan shayu alav ma'ot, af al pi shekava ha'ner o shenaflu ha'ma'ot, asur l'taltalan, shekol kli shaya asur l'taltalo bein hashmashot, nesar l'taltalo kol ha'shabbat kula, af al pi shalach davar shegaram lo ha'isur. Anything which is inherently set aside and unusable when Shabbat begins because of an isser which will be violated by handling it is called muktze machmat isser and is forbidden in Tiltul, even Litzorech Gufo and Litzorech Mekomo, and even when the isser goes away later on Shabbat. The classic example is a lit candle. When the candle is lit, one may not handle it, lest he violate Mavi'ir or Mechabeh by strengthening or weakening the flame, as we saw in Perek Yudbet. So even when the candle extinguishes later, it may not be moved. The Rambam also includes the example of money lying on a portable table. The table may not be moved because it is a basis l'davar ha'asur, which we'll learn about later in the Perek. Even if the money falls off during Shabbat, the table remains muktze machmat isser and may not be moved. Halach Yod Aleph adds that there is no similar isser regarding something which is muktze machmat mius, set aside because it is disgusting or repulsive, like an old petroleum lamp or a kli made of excrement. One may move these, the Rambam says, im hutzrach lehen, if he needs them, and mefarshim debate if he means only the tzorach gufo and the tzorach makomo, or even in order to protect the kli itself, like in the case of a kli shemalachto leheter. Halacha yud bet. Kol hakelim hanitalin b'shabbat shnit parku daltotehen, kegon daltot teva umigdal, bein shnit parku b'shabbat, bein shnit parku kodem ha-shabbat, mutar letaltelotan dlatot. V'chein kol hakelim hanitalin b'shabbat shnishperu, bein kodem shabbat, bein b'shabbat, shivrihen nitalin, v'hu shiyu osin me'ein melacha. Ketzad, shivrei areva, v'chasot behen et pi hachavit. Shivrei zechuchit, v'chasot behen et pi apach, v'chein kol kayotze baze, avalim ein hashvarim ruyin lemilacha klal asur letaltalan. Though we saw earlier that the door of a house which comes off its hinges is muktzeh, this isn't true of the door of a portable kli, like a dresser or a cabinet unit. These may be moved on Shabbat, whether they fell off their hinges before or during Shabbat. If a kli breaks on Shabbat, then the broken pieces may be moved if they are useful for some function, not necessarily the function of the original kli before it broke. For example, if a container breaks, like a glass cup or a tub used for kneading dough, the pieces may be moved to serve as coverings for other smaller kelim. Halacha Yud Gimel adds that the covering of any kli may be moved if its form clearly indicates that it is meant to be used as a cover. In general, a covering of a container attached to the ground or in the ground, like a cistern, can only be moved if it has a handle attached to it. Though a tanur, an oven, is the exception. Even though it is attached to the ground, the cover may be moved even though it has no handle. The Ramban has a very interesting explanation for this exception. Since the cover of a tanur is a critical part of its functioning, as only by covering the cavity of the tanur can the temperature inside it reach the heat necessary to cook, the cover is considered a full-fledged part of the tanur and may be moved around even if it doesn't have a handle. Halacha yudalid. Shnei dvarim, echad asur letaltalo ve'echad mutar letaltalo, ve'hein smuchin ze laze, o ze al ze, o ze ba ze, uvizman shmetaltel echad mehen, yitaltel asheni, im hayat tzarich ledavar shmutar letaltalo, metaltalo, va'af al pi shadavar ha'asur mitaltel imo. Vim hayat tzarich letaltel davar ha'asur, lo yitaltelo ba'oto davar ha'mutar. The Rambam describes a permitted manner of moving a muktzah item, which is called tiltul min hatzad in the Gemara and in the halachic literature. If a muktzah item is on top of or next to a non-muktzah item, and one needs the non-muktzah item, then he may move it even though this will result in the moving of the muktzah item as well. But if he has no interest in the non-muktzah item, he may not move it just in order to move the muktzah item. Halacha Tedvav includes examples. If a vegetable is buried under some dirt with its leaves protruding, one may pull out the vegetable to eat it, even though the dirt moves as a result. This assumes, of course, that the vegetable was already uprooted before Shabbat. But if some rocks are sitting on a loaf of bread, and one is interested only in the rocks and not in the bread, he may not move the bread together with the rocks. Examples of permitted tiltul min hatzad, which are prevalent in the modern setting, include moving a house key, even though the key ring also has a car key on it, and moving a jacket, even though some money was left in the pocket, though one may not wear the jacket unless the money can be shaken out. Ideally, poskim agree, one should be careful to separate all keys and empty his pockets before Shabbat so as not to enter these types of situations. Skip now to Halacha Yud Zayin, where the Rambam introduces the concept of basis ledavar ha'asur. Chavit sheshachach even al piha, mata al tzida vihinofelet. Haita bena chaviot, magbiha lemakom acher vaheven aleha, umata al tzida sham vaheven ofelet. Vechen hashocheach ma'ot al hakar, vetzarach lakar, no eret akar vehinoflot. Vim tzarach limkom akar, no telet akar vahma'ot alav. אבל אם הניח המאות מערב שבת על הקר, או הניח האבן על פי החבית, הרי אלו אסורים לטלטלן, ואפילו ניטלו המאות והאבן, שהרי נעשו בסיס לדבר האסור. If one forgets a rock on top of a barrel, and needs the barrel on Shabbat, he may tilt the barrel so that the rock slides off. If this cannot be done because the barrel is surrounded by other barrels on all sides, he may take the barrel elsewhere and tilt it to remove the rock. Similarly, if one forgets money on a cushion before Shabbat, he may tilt the cushion so the money falls off, and even take the cushion with the money on it if he needs the place where the cushion is sitting. However, in either case, if the muktzah item, the rock or the money, was left intentionally in its place, on the barrel or on the cushion, then the barrel and the cushion have the status of basis ledavar ha'asur, a platform for a muktzah item, and they may not be moved at all, even if the muktzah item falls off by itself during Shabbat. The Shulchan Aruch clarifies that intentionally here means that the muktzah item was placed on top of the basis with the intention that it remain there on Shabbat, or at least for the beginning of Shabbat. The Ramah rules, based on the principle of Ein Adam Oser Davar Sheino Shalo, that if before Shabbat, Reuven puts a muktzah item on top of some object belonging to Shimon, intending for it to stay there on Shabbat, this does not make Shimon's object into a basis of Davar Hasur. So Shimon may tilt his object until the muktzah item falls off and then use it. What about something which has on it both muktzah and non-muktzah items, as commonly happens in a desk drawer, for example? The Shulchan Aruch rules that a basis ledavar ha'asur u ledavar ha'mutar may be moved on Shabbat if the non-muktzah item is more important than the muktzah item. So if one knows that he will want to open a drawer on Shabbat, he should ensure before Shabbat that the most important item in the drawer is not muktzah. And if need be, he should put in the drawer before Shabbat a very important non-muktzah item, so that he will be able to open and close the drawer on Shabbat. Halacha Yotet, Peirot she'asur la'ochlan, kegon peirot she'inan me'usarin, afilu hayu chayvin b'maser midivrehem, o maser rishon shelo nitla trumato, o trumash nitma'a, o maser sheni behekte shelo nifdu kilchatan, asur l'taltalan, aval hademai ho'il v'ra'uy laniyim, v'chein maser sheni behekte shepidayan, alfa pi shelo natan achomesh, mutar l'taltalan. In general, food is not muktzah on Shabbat, but the exception is food which it is forbidden to eat, and even if it is only asur midarabanan to eat. The most common example is tevel, produce from which truma and masrot haven't been separated, even if the produce is only rabbinically obligated in truma and masrot. But food which is permitted, even to some people, is not muktzah at all, and even those who may not eat it are allowed to move it. Therefore, demai is not muktzah, because one who is poor is allowed to eat demai. Recall that demai is produce purchased from an am haaretz, about whom Chazal were in doubt whether he was careful to separate truma and masrot. In Halacha Chaf, the Rambam adds the example of truma, which is not muktzah because kohanim are allowed to eat it. Halacha Chaf Aleph. Midbach shel avanim, shechashav alav mibaod yom, im limedum, mutar leishev alehen lemachar, v'im lav asur. Chariot shel dekel shegedadan leitzim, v'imlach alihen me'erev Shabbat li'shiva, mutar letaltalan, v'chein im yashav alihen me'erev Shabbat, mutar letaltalan. This halacha discusses what can be done in advance of Shabbat to allow the use of an item which would ordinarily be muktzah. If someone has a row of stones and decides before Shabbat that he would like to sit on them, he must specifically arrange them for this purpose before Shabbat. If he gathers palm branches intending to use them as firewood, but before Shabbat changed his mind and decided to use them for sitting on, then he may move them around on Shabbat. And similarly, if he actually sits on them before Shabbat, they are permitted in tilt. 2 points in this halacha require clarification. First, note that even though we said at the start of the perek that any isur tiltul refers only to moving something, not touching it, the Rambam nonetheless forbids sitting on stones which have not been specially designated for this purpose, even without moving them. The Magen Avraham understands that the Rambam must be referring to small stones which move when one sits on them. Whatever the Rambam himself holds, most Achronim agree that heavy stones may be sat upon even if they are usur b'tiltul, and designation from before Shabbat is only required in order to move the stones on Shabbat. The second point which needs clarification in this halacha is the distinction between stones and palm branches. Why does the Rambam require an action in the case of the stones, that is, rearranging them, but in the case of palm branches, he rules that just thinking to sit on them suffices? The Magen Mishnah explains that stones are almost never used for sitting on, while palm branches are used in general for multiple purposes, and it was only his original intent while gathering to use them as firewood which designated them for the purpose of firewood. Therefore, in order to remove stones from their typical use and designate them for the unusual use of sitting, a physical act is required. While in the case of branches, just deciding to use them for sitting is enough to reverse his initial decision to use them as firewood. The Shulchan Aruch accepts the distinction between stones and branches, but the Rama rules that in both cases, it suffices to think in advance that he will use them to sit on during Shabbat, and no action is required. Halacha Chaf Bet. Hakash Shal Hamita Lo Yinan O Biyado Aval Menan O Begufo Vim Haya Machal Behima Mutar Letaltalo V'chein Im Haya Alav Kar O Sadin V'chayotzei Behen Menan O Biyado Sharei Nasa Kamish Yashav Alav Mi Ba'od Yom. It used to be very common to sleep on straw. Can this be done if the straw is muktzah? The answer is yes, because the straw isn't being moved with a person's hands, but rather with his body, tiltul begufo. But the Rambam adds two situations in which one may even move the straw with his hands. First, if the straw is animal food, in which case it isn't muktzah at all. And second, if he had placed a pillow or sheet on the straw before Shabbat, as this is a designation before Shabbat for a permitted use, like rearranging the stones in the last halacha. Tiltul begufo is the second method we've learned by which one can be metaltel a muktzah item, the first being tiltul min atzad, back in Halacha Yodalid. According to the Shulchan Aruch, there is a major difference between the two methods. Even though tiltul min atzad may only be done when one is primarily interested in moving a non-muktzah item, as we mentioned back in Halacha Yodalid, tiltul begufo is permitted even when one is only interested in moving something muktzah. For example, if money is left on the floor, then one may move it with his feet. Moving a muktzah item with one's elbow or teeth is similarly permitted as a form of tiltul begufo, though using the back of one's hand is not considered by many poskim to be significantly different from tiltul in the normal manner. The Rama considers blowing to be a form of tiltul begufo, and so one may move a light muktzah item by blowing on it. Halacha Chaf Gimel. Asur levatel kli meheichano. Mipnei shehu kisoter, ketzad, lo yitain kli tachat haner b'shabbat lekabel et ha-shemen hanotef, sha-shemen shebaner asur letaltalo, uchesheipol lakli yeaser tiltul lakli shehaya mutar, v'chein kol kayotzei bazeh. Lefichach ein notnin kli tachat ha-tarnegolet lekabel beitzata, aval kofe hu hakli aleha, v'chein kofe hakli al kol davar shasur letaltalo, sharei lo bitlo, shimiachpots yitlenu. We already encountered the Isser of Mivatel Kli Mehechano back in Perek He. One may not put a Kli on Shabbat in a place where it will become forbidden to move because a Muktzah item falls into it. This is considered similar to Soter, demolishing the Kli, in that the Kli can't be used for the remainder of Shabbat. Examples include collecting oil dripping from a candle, this was the case that we saw in Perek He, and putting a kli under a chicken to catch an egg it lays over Shabbat. We'll see in Hilchot Yom Tov that an egg laid on Shabbat is muktzah. But after a chicken lays an egg on Shabbat, a kli may be placed on top of it, as a kli may be placed on top of any muktzah object on Shabbat. Another permitted use of a kli mentioned at the end of Halacha Chaf Hei is to put an overturned basket in a place where chicks will climb on it and then walk off it. While the chicks are on the basket, it may not be moved because live animals are muktzah, but it may be moved once the chicks come off. Halacha Chaf Dalet. Notnin kli tachat hadelef, vinit malei hakli, shofeich v'shone v'eino nimna. V'hu shiyeh hadelef ra'ui lirchitza. Aval im eino ra'ui, ein notnin. V'im natan, mutar letatlo b'mayim ha-me'usin shebo. She'ein osin graf shel re'i lechatchila. If rainwater is leaking into the house on Shabbat, one may collect it in a kli. And when the kli fills up, he may empty it in order to collect more water. This is true assuming that the water is usable, like for washing. But if the water is dirty and unusable, then he may not put the kli there to collect it. This is not identical to the last cases of bitul kli mehechano, because in this case, if he does collect dirty water in the kli, then he may take it away and empty it, because the dirty water is an example of graf shel ri'i, a disgusting object which one is allowed to remove from the premises. We'll learn more about graf shel ri'i in the next parak. Despite this difference, one may not put the kli there in the first place to collect the dirty water, because we may not lechatchila create a situation of graf shel ri'i. We note that though the Shulchan Aruch accepts the psak of the Rambam, the Tur permits collecting in a kli water which is leaking into a house even if the water is unusable. And the Bir Halacha and the Aruch HaShulchan allow one to rely on this opinion in a case of great need, like to prevent the house from becoming flooded. Halacha Chafhei. Chavit shel tevel shnishbara mevi kli umaniach tachteha. Ho'il v'imavar v'tikno mitukan, harehu kimtukan. V'notnin kli tachat haner l'kabel nitzotzot, mipnei she'en behen mamash, mutar l'taltel hakli. We saw in Halacha Yutet that tevel, produce from which truma and masrot haven't been separated, is muktzah. Nonetheless, if a barrel of tevel wine breaks open, one may collect the wine in another kli, and this isn't considered mevatel kli mehechano. The reason for this is that if one were to separate truma and masrot in violation of the rabbinic iser to do so, the remaining wine would be permitted to drink, as we saw in Perek Kaf Gimel. This is enough to remove the problem of mevatel kli mehechano when one collects the wine. Though one may not collect oil dripping from a candle, he may collect sparks which fly off the burning candle in a kli filled with water. We already saw in Perek Hay that this is not considered kibui, because the sparks are not considered a real flame. And here the Rambam adds that the kli in which they land and are extinguished does not become muktzah as a result. Halacha Chaf Vav. Behemash nafla labor o lamata mayim, im yachol liten la parnasa bimkoma, mefarnasinota ad motzei shabbat. Vim lav, mevi karim uchzatot umaniach tachtea, vim alta alta, va'af al pi shemvatel kli mehechano, shehare mashlicho labor letoch hamayim, mipnei tsar balei chayim lo gazru, vasru lahalota biado. We close the perek with another exception to the usual prohibition of mevatel kli mehechano. If an animal falls into a pit of water or a stream, ideally one should feed it where it is. But if this is impossible, then he may put pillows and cushions underneath the animal to allow it to climb out. This drenches the pillows and cushions with water, rendering them unusable for the rest of Shabbat, and so should pose a problem of mevatel kli mehechano. It is nonetheless permitted because of the concern of tsar balei chayim if the animal is left in the pit or stream. The Rambam writes that one may not take the animal out with his hands, as live animals are muktzah. However, the Aruch HaShulchan permits lifting the animal's legs to put them on the pillows or cushions, and the Mishnah Berurah concludes that when there is no other way to get the animal out of its predicament, one may even take it out with his hands.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.